Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, Susan Diamond of SlurpinKiss.biz and Santa Cruz, California, to bring in today's topic on the potent pendulum. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of voodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, well, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Papa Newt. So nice to hear your voice. Well, we're having a very special show today, and I want to let people know it's not often that we're actually in person with the people who are guests on our show. Usually all of this is conducted via the internet, and there are people who've been guests on the show that I've never met face-to-face, but today our guest is Susan Diamond, and I just have to say that she is here in reality, and there she is in the background, and also in the house is our good friend, Robin York, Ms. Robin. And her husband, Jay, have come up to visit. So we're having quite a party today. And the shop is filled with people, and it's just kind of a lot going on here. So, it's really nice. It's unusual to have that much happening in the shop while the show is on. So, Conjurman Ali, how are things down in your neck of the woods?
They are quite well. I'm kind of missing out on the reunion that's going on up north. But yeah, Things are going quite well, just doing what I do best and preparing for some fun All Hallows Eve and Halloween activities, which are more fun-oriented than really spiritual-oriented, but a little bit of client work thrown in, which is always quite fun.
Yeah. Well, I've been having a little more fun than usual, too. I've been working so hard for the last few weeks that it was kind of nice to kick back a little bit this week and not do as much work. But, yeah, I had to relax after all of that push. But I just want to...
You got on one sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. And there's always fun to be had. Well, I guess without further ado, let's bring on our wonderful guest, Susan Diamond. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Kat. It's so good to be back. So I haven't been up here in a while, and
I
know
it's been a while.
It's like coming home.
You guys have to say, this is so funny to me. See, now I'm talking to her on the phone, but just a minute ago I was hugging her, you see. But in order for us to all get on a line and not be echoing with each other, we have to be in different rooms. So we have the semblance of in person, but we don't have a regular setup with a blended microphone, unfortunately. So here we are. And Susan comes to us from Serpent's Kiss, and that is in Santa Cruz. And not only did she come here to be on the show, she came to pick up an order of Lucky Mojo products. She's one of our very, very valued wholesale customers, which means that if you are in the Santa Cruz area, you can buy not only her own Serpent's Kiss brand spiritual supplies, but she carries Lucky Mojo brand spiritual supplies as well. And I will tell you, Susan, I get people calling me up all the time, you know, when they want to take my course or whatever, and they go, well, I bought that book, but I bought it at Serpent's Kiss. Well, I bought that at Serpent's Kiss. So we consider you one of our really good allies and friends, and I'm very pleased to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, and like I said, it does feel like coming home. We've known each other now for I don't even know how long. But
it
you
has
know,
been a long time.
Yeah, from the beginning of before the beginning of air, and it's just been
that's right.
It's been a
that's
wonderful,
right.
wonderful journey, and yeah, I think even before I moved out to California, possibly.
That's correct. That
yeah.
is correct. It
yeah.
was before you moved to California.
When I had a shop in New York. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. We've been knowing each other a long time, and yeah. So an error started in error. Started in 2006, but it didn't hit the internet until 2007. So, but you were in on that from the very beginning
from
in
the
2006.
Very start, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's been 10 years.
Wow.
So, your shop.
Wow, and it's come such a long way, too. Like, one of the
yeah.
most amazing informational sites on the internet, hands down.
Yeah. We really have had a lot of good contributors, and you were one of the contributors to the site early on. And we still add new pages to that, the AIR website, readersandrootworkers.org or .com, depending on how you want to look at it, or even rootworkers.org, depending on how you want to get to it. It'll all take you to the same place. And I do want to say something also to people who are unfamiliar with you and your shop. Serpent's Kiss is an unusual shop. It's different than Lucky Mojo, similar, probably more similar to Lucky Mojo than a lot of shops are. There are a number of people in AIR who have their own shops. Papa G does down in Aroma Gregory Creatives, and Madame Pamita has her own shop, and so forth and so on. There are many people, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but there are a number of people who are in AIR who do have their own shops. And yours is, of all of them, the one that's most like ours. And so I feel always confident. People drive up from the city, and I say, you know, you could go to Santa Cruz. Probably a shorter drive. But you have a lot of things in the pagan world and in hoodoo and also Afro-Caribbean and what I also called magical lifestyle goods. And what you are known for to me, and you can correct me here, is you also have one of the most beautiful, beautiful collections for sale of gems, rocks, minerals, and crystals.
Absolutely.
And yeah, that is a specialty. Yeah, that's
yeah.
a specialty of Serpent's Kiss. And the internet will never do them justice because, you know, you can take a picture of me, you can take another picture, they're going to walk out the door, and the next rock will not look like the other. So, folks, if you are looking for, and we sell some gems and crystals and minerals, but I'll tell you the truth, Susan, I never have been able to go into it the way that you have because you have walk-in clientele, and it takes walk-in to buy those things because they have to feel them and hold them.
Yes.
And if any of you want to go someplace where there are magical minerals, that is Serpent's Kiss. And they have everything else, too. I mean, I'm telling you, there's lots of, you know, beautiful tarot bags, beautiful scarves, belts. You name it. It's oils, and she has her own line of them, and she sells Lucky Mojo. They're beautiful, beautiful. But, honest to gosh, if I had to make the pilgrimage, I'd make it to look at some of your gems and crystals because they are spectacular, just amazing.
Thank you, Kat. It is so close to my heart. It's one of the things, and you're right. You know, you have to have that walk-in, which I didn't always have. So, like for me, I just love working with them. Absolutely, every single piece in there was handpicked by me. I don't have people that buy for me. So yeah, it is a big piece of my heart. So yeah, I do love that part of the
yeah.
store.
Yeah, well, it shows. It really shows. Every time I walk in there, my mind is blown, and my wallet just springs open of its own accord.
Happy wallet.
So, yeah. Well, as always, our guest brings us our topic for our panel discussion. And but I'm always, as always, I want to give a little introduction for people who are new to the radio show or listening to this in the archive 15 years from now and going, what are they talking about? So this is the topic of the potent pendulum. And what Susan is bringing to us is the many uses of a pendulum. Now, people think of a pendulum as something that gives a yes or no answer. But a pendulum can do more than that. Most people who work with a pendulum know how to get an I don't know and a maybe out of that yes and no. And there are different ways to do it, and it just depends on how you train your pendulum. Most people think of a pendulum as a pretty rock or a stone or a key or something on a little chain or a string or a root on a string. But there are pendulums that are hollow that you can put in a sample of something that you want. Like, for instance, if you want to tell the truth about some person, and you put one of their hairs in the little holder, and it will talk about them. It will be a pendulum tuned to them. So these pendulums are sometimes called witness sample pendulums, and they're very different than a regular just weight, plumb bob weight. But there's another use of pendulums, and that is dowsing. You can use a pendulum over a map. So what Susan is going to bring to us now is the many ways that you can use a pendulum. Oh, and lest I forget, the first way that I was ever taught to use a pendulum was to tell if a baby was going to be a boy or a girl by taking a woman's wedding ring and hanging it on a thread over her belly as she lay down on the couch. And that's the oldest way to use a pendulum that I know. Having said all of that, I'm going to turn this over to Susan. She is also, for those of you who are interested in this, presenting classes on pendulums, and she's teaching at her own shop and also elsewhere. Okay? So there you go. Susan, it's all yours.
Thank you. Yeah, one of the reasons I did want to bring up this topic is because the pendulum and dowsing is often underused and even minimized, and they're highly effective and a very simple tool to use with a huge array of applications in addition to the ones that you just mentioned. The simplicity, you know, for people, I have so many people, you know, that want to learn how to do root work and you know, but they don't want to learn how to read the tarot, or there's the divination aspect is very off-putting. The pendulum allows you a simple tool, simple to carry, simple to use, and the only thing you need to do is to be able to be still and to receive, and that's one of the things that makes it phenomenal. Also, it can be used for many different applications, communication with the dead, location of objects, divining or truth-seeking, communing with non-human entities, plants, stones, animals, your pets. It can increase magical potency. It can draw in or cast out energies and entities. It discerns information in letters, contracts, bills, summonses. You can douse for water, minerals, lost objects. In healing, it could double as both a diagnostic tool as well as a remedy tool. They're used in archaeological digs for time travel. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So it is not simply a yes-no tool, although that is a very important role for the pendulum. But there are many, many other ways to use it, including, like I said, spell work. There are different types of items that you can use. I do like working with the stones, as we said earlier, but you can also use roots. You can use family heirlooms. You can use keys. You can use some roots, for instance, lucky hand root, hijon, camphor. Camphor's not a root, but you can use also like resin balls, mm-hmm. alum, dragon's blood. Angelica root is phenomenal. You can even use a little bluing blue balls,
mm-hmm.
which is really good for purification work.
Wow.
And then stones, if you want to use it for spell work, the kind of stones you might use for pulling, for drawing, or removing, would be like black tourmaline, hematite, lodestone, obsidian, malachite, And then if you wanted to use something for blessing or healing, you can use pendulums that include angelite, celestite, rose quartz, amethyst, blue lace agate, fluorite. You can use pendulums if you want to divine for money. There, you can use aventurine and pyrite. So many different ways that you could work with and utilize the pendulum to not only answer questions, but to create change, to create magic.
Wow, I'm gonna jump in right here with something, because you ran through a very quick list of stones, and I'm gonna just put in a plug for another member of AIR. John St. Germain has written a book called Crystal Magic, and it's not one of these big illustrated coffee table books with every stone photographed under fluorescent light and so beautifully whatever. It's just a $9 book that lists the stones and what their symbolism is and what they are used for. And things, everything you said is something that's in that book. So if you want a list of stones that's simple, accessible, that you can carry as literally a pocketbook, it's called Crystal Magic by John St. Germain. And it was published by the Crystal Silence, through the Crystal Silence League. And John has a radio show also on the Lucky Mojo Radio Network called the Crystal Silence Hour. So just going to put a little plug in for that. But you can also get one of those big, beautiful, The Book of Stones, and that will also give you that information. And Scott Cunningham has another book also on minerals.
Right. Yeah, and I just got a peek at that book, by the way. I'm going to have it in the store.
Oh, good.
It's phenomenal.
Good.
I love it. It looks like such an easy reference, a real, you know, simple go-to. Find the information you need and use it.
That's right. And it is, I have to say, John put a tremendous work in it. It has some spells, too. But it really is about, when you buy a pendulum, when I buy a pendulum, I want to know what stone it's made out of. I want to make sure it's also a pretty example of that stone. In other words, I won't buy a bloodstone if it doesn't have a red dot of blood in it, the red part of the stone. There's green, there's bloodstone that's all green with no red in it. And so to me, if it's going to be bloodstone, it better look right. If it's going to be green aventurine, it better be darn green, you know. Mm-hmm. So one of the things when people buy a pendulum, you want to be able to actually, if you can, make sure you have a reputable seller of that stone. I'm just going to say, because people will, technically it may be the stone, but it may not look like what you hoped it would look like. So a good shop, if you're working online, a good shop will help, but nothing beats going in person to look at the pendulums. The use of a root as a pendulum, it has a long history. And it's not just that, this is something poor people did because they couldn't afford a stone pendulum. Because before we go back to stone pendulums, we can even go back to plumb bobs. And a plumb bob is something that any stonemason would have. You can buy them at the hardware store. The word plumb, and we got to explain this to people, it does not refer to plum, the fruit of a plum tree. It's plumb, plumb. And it means vertical, straight up and down. And so a plumb bob, the bob is the thing that hangs, which we now call the pendulum. Pendulum means something that hangs. But bob, the plumb bob is on a string, is used by a carpenter or a stonemason to see if a wall is exactly vertical. You just hang it and see if it's right. And a plumb bob pendulum can be made with a plumb bob from a hardware store.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go down and buy a plumb bob, but you put it on a little string. So, but people, when they make them out of stone, they will carve them into fanciful shapes, and some of them may carve them into the form of a plumb bob. And that doesn't mean it was ever used as a plumb bob. Now we're just referring to the plumb bob shape, which some people think of as kind of like a teardrop with a little shoulder on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That does.
Everybody, if you've seen the pendulums, you've seen them.
Yes, right.
A lot of them have that shape. Yeah.
I'm particularly fond of. I don't use jackball. I mean, I don't use pendulums very often for yes/no answers. I have geomancy for that, which is very detailed. But I use pendulums for dowsing and locating objects. And jackballs are absolutely great for that. I absolutely love using a jackball, which has roots at its core, wrapped in wax and then thread, using that to divine or Taoist is absolutely phenomenal. I had a couple cases a few years back where a really big company had lost some very expensive equipment down south, and I used a pendulum on a map, and within a week we found it. So jackballs really are phenomenal. They have both that root component, and they're really alive when it comes to dowsing in that way.
That's why the roots are nice too. For me personally, you know, I feel the life in the stones as well as the roots, but it's a really a living mouth to speak through, and it allows for spirits to speak through it. Kat, I still have my jackball. I love my jackball that I made in your class. Are you still teaching those workshops?
Oh yeah, yes. That is the apprenticeship that I give. It's the last of the apprenticeship classes. And when I used to give that at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, I would say only graduates could come and take this. But as we got more people teaching at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, I felt bad telling other people, well, you can't come to this. So now that Jackball is part of the apprenticeship training, which is separate from the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, they kind of diverged. But yeah, we get there's nothing quite beats a whole bunch of people going out and making jackballs and going out in the bushes to get a little bit of their pee on their paper or whatever it may be. we still do that. We still do.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. It was phenomenal, and it's such a magical piece, a magical tool.
Yeah. And somebody in the chat room mentioned plumbing. We have a pretty active chat room here, and I do want to say we got a lot of people in chat. Is plumb, as in plumb bob, related to plumbing? And the answer is yes. Plumb is lead, and a lead weight. Originally, a plumb bob was not made of brass. It was a little lead weight, like a fishing weight. And it also was used in... plumbing joints was used with lead to form the joints, and it's very toxic. Remember Flint, Michigan? We don't do that no more, but that's where plumb comes from. There's even a plant called plumbago, which is, but it always refers to things that are saturnine or lead-like in quality. That's just a little Latin. So that's where the plumb bob name comes from. Yeah, and Madam Nadia is in the chat. She said, very Saturnian. And then and Nagashiva put saturnine or lead-like. That's right.
Two really old uses for pendulums, I think Ms. Kat mentioned, is for pregnancy and also to test if your partner is faithful. It was quite popular. Even people that don't practice what we would call hoodoo or root work would know it. It was something practiced quite often in the South. It's also European. And it was something that people did. They just knew how to do it. Their grandma taught them. It was either done with a ring or with a needle. You string a needle, and you would check the sex of the baby, what boy or girl being born. But it was also done with the ring, and you could check to see, you know, is so-and-so cheating on me? Are they faithful to me? I know that I, for a couple times, I have a ring that I often talk about on the show. A carnelian ring. Sometimes I'll slip that off and I'll use that as a pendulum. It houses my spirit of divination with my personal jinn in that ring. So using that as a pendulum has been quite effective for me.
Yeah, you know, I have gone through many, many pendulums in my life, and I worked with a carnelian one for a long time, and I hate to say I lost it. It just disappeared out of my, I mean, I don't know what happened to it. It's gone. And then I went to a Mexican white, what sometimes is called white onyx or white agate. It's a kind of a creamy white Mexican, you know what I'm talking about, because everyone knows what I'm talking about. Used to be able to buy those little donkeys carved out of it. It's sort of banded agate. And I have two of them. One of them was perfect, and the other was imperfect. And I noticed something. I picked them out because I like the color and the shape and the weight. And the imperfect one always gave me the right answer. And the one that was perfect was a dead pendulum. It just didn't work. I couldn't get that thing to go. And the one that was imperfect had a little...
I don't have to be smart. I'm Purdy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It had this little hickey in the carving, just this little, like when you ran your fingernail all over. You couldn't see it, but when you ran your finger, there's that little thing in the stone. And it just drove me crazy. I want the perfect one. I want the perfect one. Never worked. And this goes back a long way. I still have this pendulum. This is so old that it was when sterling silver was so cheap that this is actually mounted in sterling silver with a sterling silver chain. And both of them are, and I still have both of them. But that was, that's many, many, many years ago. This is when I learned how to test a pendulum. And I'm just going to throw this out here. When you go to a place where there are pendulums for sale, don't just pick the one that's pretty. It might be the best one for you, but think about what it's made out of and think about how you're going to use it. And then take that pendulum in your hand and you're going to talk to the pendulum before you actually purchase the pendulum. So I take and I put my elbow on the table and I hang the pendulum down. Now, if the chain's too long, I just pull the chain up a little bit or the string or whatever it's going to be, and I hang it down. Now, I have my way of doing yes and my way of doing no. There is no one way. Some people say a circle and a straight line. Some people say a cross, to and fro, whatever. Whatever way you're going to use for yes and you're going to use for no, you're going to force it with your hand. This is my yes. And then you stop it. And you go, this is my no. Right? And now the pendulum now knows what you want, right? And then you say, are you a good little pendulum? And it'll either say yes or no. If you have a maybe, and if you have an I don't know, you can do that too. This is my yes, this is my no, this is my maybe, this is my I don't know. Stop it. Are you a good little pendulum? But you don't just stop with that. You say, will you work for me? Because if it might be a good little pendulum, but it won't work for you. And speaking of carnelian pendulums, we had one in the shop. It was the most beautiful carnelian pendulum I've ever seen. Every time I'd ask it, are you a good little pendulum? Yes, I am. Will you work for me? No. It was kind of freakish. So we began to talk to people. I said, no, don't take this pendulum. Because people go right to, oh, this pendulum is so pretty. It's just... Folks, this was just a $10 pendulum. It just had all the glamour. I mean, imagine, the Princess Diana, the Beyonce of pendulums. This pendulum had, fabulousness written all over it. Everyone would go for it. And then I'd say, well, ask it, is it a good little pendulum? And it would always say no. They'd put it back, right? This pendulum was with us for a year and a half. And we would just laugh. It was like, this is the pendulum that will never work, right? So... we hired a guy to come in and work. His name was Ian. He used to work for us in the shop. And Ian came in, and of course, the first thing we said to him, the pendulums. And he goes, that's a beautiful pendulum. I said, yeah, but it's the pendulum that always says no. And he goes, really? And he goes, are you a good little pendulum? And it goes, yes. And he goes, will you work for me? And it goes, yes.
And it said, what took you so long?
Yeah, like, we were waiting there for a year and a half, and we couldn't sell the pendulum. And he goes, ah, I love it. And it was just a $10 pendulum, but it had a mind. It had a mind of its own.
It's funny. They say that in the Arabic tradition, they say that carnelians are the thickiest of stones, that they either stick with you or they don't. And if they don't, they'll actually get lost. Like you mentioned, one of your carnelians got lost. I laughed because my grandfather had a carnelian. It was a very beautiful carnelian that was inscribed. He lost it, and it was like this big travesty, because it was a family heirloom. And years and years later, my father found it. It didn't sit with my grandfather. It wouldn't. So they say that if a carnelian doesn't like you or if it doesn't click, it will just disappear or won't work for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird because I've always had a thing for carnelian, and I don't have a carnelian pendulum anymore. Mine walked away. It just went into the sunset. Now, I also had an aventurine one, a green aventurine, and I was only using that one to douse for money and on maps for things, for things, valuable treasures and things. And That one I gave away. Somebody else was, you know, I was showing him how to use it. And the thing went wild for them. It was like, you know, you got a puppy and you think, I'm going to raise this puppy. And then someone walks through the door and they go, the puppy. And the puppy goes, my mate. All right. It's just like, okay. All right. So I had to give that one away. And I was happy to do so. But it just, it had found somebody who loved it and it loved that person. There we, that was the end of that one for me. So pendulums are very unique. A lot of people like to use a key. Do you ever use a key for a pendulum system?
Yes. And in fact, my very first, and maybe this is why I'm so fond of them too, my very first magical experience, I was 4 years old, and my grandmother decided that, you know, I was the one to train, you know, in the family. And
mm-hmm.
she pulled out her sewing kit, and she took her string, her thread, and took a button and a
mm-hmm.
thread, and she said, now if you ask it questions, it will listen to you and it will answer. And she taught me how to do a yes and a no, and she said, please, whatever you do, don't tell your mother, don't tell your father, and don't tell your grandfather I'm doing this.
Oh, wow.
And she taught me how, that was my very first experience with divination at four. And we would ask it questions. I don't remember what my questions were as a four-year-old. But that was the beginning of my magical experience. And so,
wow.
Yeah, it's always been a very powerful and very very close, very, very magical place for me, working with the pendulum in all its different forms. And I have used keys.
Mm-hmm.
That very same grandmother, I have a piece of jewelry that she gave to me several years before she died, but she said, I want to make sure you have this. It's the first gift your grandfather gave to me. And, you know, should anything happen to me, I want you to have it. And I've used that as a pendulum. To call in ancestors, to have something of theirs and use that for communication is a really beautiful and powerful means to connect. And fast.
That is, yeah, that is exactly. If you have something that belonged to somebody, you can call in their spirit. And I just want to give a shout-out to Santiago Barella in the chat room. Dress a key with Master Key Oil. That's a really good comment. And we have a very active chat room here today, so I just want to thank everybody who's in chat. And a lot of people labeled as guests, but we've got Madam Nadia is in the chat, Madam Samantha, Nathan Walter, Navy Nurse, and readings by Evan, Santiago Barella, Cindy Toto is in the chat.
That's why I got bumped out, because I think we have the same chat room name.
Oh, okay. Well, it says Toto Mojo. That's right.
Oh, it doesn't say five star spells? Okay.
No, it says Toto Mojo, and you're in as Conjure Crossroads. And Eye of Newt. Eye of Newt is in, and that is Papa Newt's fabulous other self.
The all-seeing eye of Papa Newt.
Also, Golden Green Eyes and Gia is in. So we got a lot of people in chat.
I wanted to say something about keys as pendulums. Keys used to be really, really popular as pendulums, and particularly during the kind of spirit, mediumship, seance craze, they were a way of connecting with spirits. So like I was told by a lot of people that you use keys to talk to the dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were supposed to use the key, if, for example, you went to a place that where someone had died, use the key of that house, right? So it wasn't just any old key, right? It was the key of that place. And I was told that to do it is actually different from other pendulums. You actually put both elbows on the table, and then you create a little triangle with your fingertips and dangle the key from a string from your fingertips. You made a little pyramid with your hands, and the key would be dangling between them, and you would ask the spirit questions. This is also, some people use this for Ouija, right? So you would actually have a spirit board of some sort
mm-hmm.
underneath it, and it would spell things out, or it would say certain things. Not everyone had that spirit board. Some people just place it. And I was told that you have to put your hands this way to speak to the spirits of the dead. Now, of course, there are various traditions and people differ, but people used to swear by keys as a means of connecting with spirits of the dead,
especially
of a house.
I'm going to talk for a minute. Just you brought up something here, having a Ouija board under a pendulum. And there are also something called pendulum boards. They're different people make them, and they're different styles. There's a guy who used to sell them around here in Northern California at different psychic and mystic fairs, and they were done in a sort of gold or silver on black plastic, and they were really cool looking. I mean, they're just beautiful, and I wish I could get them and sell them in the shop. They had a yes, no, and a maybe, and an I don't know, and numbers and things, and they were really, really cool, little black square, and you can use them, but you can make your own pendulum board. I believe it, isn't it Miss Melanie who has one carved out of wood, and it's all the letters of the alphabet on it and stuff. I've seen that picture. But a pendulum board is quite easy to make once you settle on what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give, this is a little tip to people who are learning pendulum work. Just take a 3x3 inch post-it, okay? Just a post-it note. Stick it on the table. Draw a cross on it and a circle around the cross, right? And then identify what's yes, what's no, however you want to do it. And work with that the first, 15 times you try a pendulum. After that, you'll never need that post-it again. It'll be internalized. And you can do a pendulum with nothing underneath. You don't need a board. But if you don't want to buy a fancy pendulum board and have it be one of your beautiful fancy tools, just start with a post-it note. That's all you need. And if you have a very good sense of visualization, you don't even need the post-it note. Now that I told you about it, you can visualize the post-it note.
Ultimately, you don't need a pendulum either.
No, you do need a pendulum, I think. The reason you need a pendulum, though, I think, is that you can fool yourself.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Even when we're off our tools or not.
Yeah. Well, Gia said something in the chat. I'm going to pick this up. I have some square fabric scarf that I got first time I bought a pendulum. That's very cool. Yes, a bandana would work. A square fabric scarf. Once you kind of use that to get your mind focused, the pendulum, a lot of people say, well, the pendulum is just the wiggling of your autonomic nervous system. But that's what's connecting you to the universe. Oh, my gosh. And now we're out of time. Oh, well. We're going to go do some readings, and we'll be right back.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man Ali, and this week's special guest, Susan Diamond, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling in from area code 269 in Michigan. This is Carrie. Carrie, are you there?
I'm here. Hello. How are you doing?
Doing well. Welcome to the show. I see this is your first time. You just found the show recently, and this is your first time calling in. So welcome, hon.
Thanks. It is. Super excited.
And I see, wonderful. And I see you have not gone to Countryman Ali or Miss Kat on this particular situation, but you have spoken with Miss Aida kind of on a situation that's kind of related to this one, the same guy, but is it different? Okay. Thank you, hon. All right. And Carrie writes, I want my ex-boyfriend to believe that I am telling him the truth about a situation that involved another girl and the courts. I also really want him to be able to trust me again. I want him to believe that the others involved are trying to manipulate him, and I am the only person who is being honest. Turn it back to you, Miss Kat.
All right. Well, let's see what we can do for your situation. I'm going to be doing a reading, and I am, you know, concerned. I have a feeling about this one that is not. Tell me a little bit more, because I'm picking up a vibe here that says something else is going on, more than more than what you wrote.
I mean, the situation is that we broke up, and he started seeing another girl right away. They stopped seeing each other a long time ago, but she accused me of some things that went to court. Basically, some harassment.
Okay.
It was just some silly text messages that she got. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't anything big. I was cleared of all the charges. He knows this, that I was cleared of all the charges, but suddenly, the last time I talked to him, we were on the same page and everything, and suddenly I have stopped talking to him, but I've been doing, like, the reconciliation work that Miss Aida had recommended to me. And I reached out to him last night, and he accused me of lying and says that he knows that I'm lying. And I'm just like, okay, well, that's out of the blue. I don't know where this is coming from now. The last time we talked, we were on the same page. So.
I'm getting it. See, that's, I knew there was more going on here. That's, you know what I'm saying? There was something. This situation is not as simple as it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
No, not at all.
No, not at all. And the thing is, we had here. You want your ex-boyfriend to believe, but there's something. I don't know. There's something going on. I have a very, very strange feeling about this one. I'm going to read for you, and I'm going to do a 3-card cut. But this may be more a root work advice thing when we get down to it, because there's something. I just have a bad, I don't usually say this. I have a bad vibe about this, okay? Something going on wrong. All right. So I'm going to put down 3 cards, and the first card I have is a card called the Moon. Well, this is a card of mental problems, not necessarily yours now, not necessarily his, maybe the other female. But there is something going on here with the card of the Moon that says that things are not what they seem. It shows a dog and a wolf howling at the moon, and a woman face in the moon looking down with a sort of a sad look, and a little bit of a little crawdaddy waving its arms in a little creek. May I ask what sign of the zodiac you are?
Aries.
An Aries. Okay. Well, you're not that little crawdaddy.
Nope.
This is a card that usually says sterile hope, and it's often a card of disappointment because you cannot see clearly what's happening. It can mean that something's going on. The second card is the Ten of Swords, which is an extremely negative card, which shows a person lying in a pool of blood on a beach with 10 swords stabbed in their back. I think something has been done much more here than just a situation involving another girl in the courts. This has gotten way out of hand, and there may have been some magic used against you. And the last card I have is the 9 of Swords. This is like a person waking up crying with 9 swords hanging over their head. And I think somebody has put something into this situation that goes beyond just social antagonism.
Okay.
I would not go so far as to say I know for a fact you've been cursed, but it sure looks like you've been talked about, and you may have been cursed. And this is a rather creepy, I guess we would say, rather creepy looking set of cards. And I don't feel confident that praying your way out of this or hoping for the best is going to work. Madam Nadia made a comment and said lunacy plus illusion. And Conjurman Ali said all night cards as well. And Papa Nuke said damn. And Madam Nadia says, shiz cards. Sorry, doesn't look good. And and Gia said, I was going to say cursed. So we have a lot of readers here in the chat room, and they're all going with the same place I'm going with. There's more, well, much more here. And my spidey senses were right.
You know, I forgot to mention this, but it makes me wonder now, is she was a vet student, and she did dump horse brains in front of my apartment. So whether
she dumped what?
Horse brains in front of my apartment.
She dumped
from the vet
horse
pool.
Brains in front of your apartment?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, I can't even
So she's definitely
begin.
Crazy, and I wouldn't put cursing past her.
Okay, then. There's the horse brains. Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. The first card is she's trying to drive you crazy. She's trying to drive mm-hmm. you crazy. Nathan Walter in the chat room said high-octane crazy, and Santiago's going, horse brains? Yes, folks, horse brains. Okay? we have a situation here where we have a very, very crazy trying to drive you nuts. I'm going to say this is going to take a lot of root work, and it's going to take a lot of wow. I'm going to turn this one. Well, I'm just going to say the one good thing out of all of this, because these are all nighttime cards, as was pointed out, she's also trying to work on your mind at night. Be very careful how you sleep. Be very protected. We're going to get to that later, how you're going to be protected while you sleep. You're definitely going to need Psalm 91. And the last card does show that you do have friends and helpers. Even though it's a card of a lady waking up crying and with nightmares, she does have friends if she will just be able to open her eyes. You have been done dirty. Okay, I'm going to turn this over to Susan to read. Wow. And meanwhile, a Coastside Conjurer is going spongiform. What is this?
Mad cow
disease in the horse brains. Well, I didn't want to go there, but Coastside Conjurer, who doesn't know her medical and vet stuff, just piped up and said it. We're going to go there, I think. Susan, your turn.
Okay, I have a quick question for you. Because of the night energies, I know Nadia mentioned that. How is your dream time? How's your sleep?
You know, it's not been odd. I mean, but I've always had like really vivid odd dreams anyway, so nothing out of sorts there, really.
Okay, nothing out of the ordinary. Have a sense. I'm going to throw some cards first, but. Okay, that's what I thought. This is not a particularly powerful person.
Good.
Yeah, that's good.
That's the good news. But doing nothing, obviously, even with someone who is not powerful, can have an effect on you. Mm-hmm. My other question is, I'm actually seeing another man in your life. Is there somebody else right now that you're interested in?
No, I am completely alone right now.
Okay, there's someone who is showing up here as kind of, he's got a soft energy, almost like a quiet, shy energy. But I do see someone that wants to help you. I do feel like if you haven't met them yet, you will very soon. It's showing up in the position that's immediate future. While they may have a romantic interest in you, it won't stop them from helping you, even if you're not interested. So there is, there are people around you that are wanting to support you. That being said, I don't feel like I said, I don't feel like this is a very powerful force, but it could still do damage if it goes unchecked.
Mm-hmm.
What I get here is two people who can help you. One is male, one is female. He shows up as the emperor. She shows up as a high priestess, and the Ace of Swords is between them. These are two people that could facilitate fixing this situation for you. and I get quickly and at once, meaning you don't have to do a whole lot of work. If you get the right people, do it for you, it's done. The only negative around this is I see you still not getting your end goal. So even though the work that there's something more besides the work that's being done against you. So what is before this situation? What was the nature of the relationship? Did you guys have problems that were not so external, but more between you? Does that make sense?
I mean, we had a really good relationship. We were we were together for about 9 months. I mean, we literally only had like 3 arguments within that 9 months. Mm-hmm. The third argument being the one where we broke up.
Do you mind my asking, is it too personal on the air to ask you what that was about? You don't have to if you don't feel comfortable.
Honestly, it was really dumb. Like, I went to lunch with his roommate, and his roommate, like, went home and was bragging about it and whatnot. And, like, apparently my boyfriend got really jealous by that, and I had no idea. What he didn't realize is we went to lunch together to plan his surprise birthday party because his birthday was coming up. It was his 30th birthday. And when the thing is when we told him that finally, he felt like a complete ass, and he should have, you know, and like, he's the kind of person that responds with guilt in a way that, he's going to blow up at me and is going to make it about me. You know what I mean? Like, cause he feels terrible.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. I think you can handle the immediate problem pretty quickly and in the manner that Kat said, even though, you know, it is showing up as very dire. It's dire as long as you don't do anything about it. If you do something about it,
right.
I do think that could be fixed. But I still think there's going to be more work to be done. Now, that being said, if that work is done, your outcome is very good. You know, if you clear this crazy person, that actually looks doable. But there's still some more clearing to do within the relationship. It seems, you know, I'm getting a lot of, like, 7 of Swords, 5 of Swords. I think in general, you're going to be dealing with a lot of trust issues with this man.
Mm-hmm.
Jealousy issues, trust issues. So these are also things that are going to have to be worked on ultimately for this relationship to be successful, to be what you want it to be. So I would just suggest to you, before going on and doing whatever work is needed to undo, which I think you need to do anyway, regardless of whether you decide to stay with him or not, there's energy coming at you. I don't feel like it's a deep. I do feel like it's connected to him. I do feel like if you walked away, it would stop. But all that being said, do the work, clear the energy, but just know there's a little bit more work to do on the relationship. But if you do it, it does, I am getting it could be a good relationship, but it's not without effort.
Right.
And I think this is what we're both seeing here, hon, is that, yes, there is this other girl, but there's also the man himself has some issues that could not be, even if you take off what she put on you, which she did, horse brains and all, he is still also, right. So let's see what Countryman Ali has to say as far as what kind of root work we can do here.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, this definitely gave me an interesting vibe. I'm going to speak a little bit fast because we've cut into the root work time. So pay attention very closely. I wanted to ask you some questions, but we're going to have to skip through those because you mentioned that you went into the courts because of some texting stuff. So there's some ambiguity there. The thing is, if you got down in the gutter with her, because she looks like she's trying to drag you in, and if you got down in the gutter with her, if you had some type of harassment back and forth, even if it seemed silly to you, you need to get some hyssop and you need to cleanse yourself. Take hyssop, brew it into a tea, bathe yourself in it, pray Psalm 55. You know, you need to really cleanse yourself because you don't want to be in the gutter with her, right? Let her stay in that shithole. You need to rise above it. I want you to get yourself some Jinx breaking oil and where she dumped the horse stuff, you're going to pour that Jinx breaking oil so that whatever she's done, you kill it. Now, mm-hmm. you need to get a back door into him. The relationship's got issues. I'm not going to say that you have a chance of reconciling, because I actually am a little bit more pessimistic. In what I saw, I think that the reconciliation may be a bit too late now, but you can clear your name or at least create a more amicable situation. Make yourself a doll baby. Sew one up out of some cloth. Put in it deer's tongue, violet leaves, rose petals, 2 balm of Gilead for forgiveness, a pinch of Queen Elizabeth powder, and basil and honeysuckle. This is to soften him up for forgiveness and to get him to listen to you. You're going to sew that closed. You're going to baptize it in his name, and you're going to speak the truth to the doll. You have to be honest with the doll. If you've done wrong, say, look, I made some mistakes, but it's not what you think. Talk to the doll. Mm-hmm. Talk to it every night. Be sincere. Be honest, and that's very important. If you're not sincere, if you try to fake it or if you try to deceive him, his spirit will reject it. This is spirit-to-spirit mm-hmm. communication. This is a back door. You're going to be able to speak to the doll in a way that you're unable to speak to him, okay? What I want you to do next is I want you to take his photo, place it under a cup of water, and add a drop of clarity oil. Keep this next to your bed. This will help to clear all the mesh that she's trying to influence or manipulate him with while you're working that doll baby. This is all done at night. Before you go to bed, you're going to open the Bible to Psalm 91, place some scissors into it, place this under your bed with the scissors pointing at the door. Okay? This will protect you, your dreams, and anything that she may throw at you. Finally, in order to expose her, what you need to do, especially if she is lying, take 3 needles and name all 3 of them for her: her mind, her tongue, her action. And one by one, you're going to break these needles. You're going to take it and dispose of it at her lawn in the same way that she dropped horse brains where you were. You're going to take and throw the needles on her lawn. If you don't have access to the property, do it at the crossroads, but try to get access to her property. Try to drive out there, wherever it is, throw the 3 needles on there. And what this will do is it will break her lies so that she will come undone and be exposed. You're going to keep working the doll baby, and you're going to keep working the cup of water. You're going to refresh it every night and put another bit of clarity oil. And you're going to keep doing this until the truth breaks through. Okay?
Okay.
Wow.
Are you a worker?
Yes.
I am.
Yes. I'm newer to hoodoo, but I've been doing various works over the years.
Okay.
Witchcraft.
Well, yes, all of us are root workers and readers here on this show. And if you have any questions about how to do a spell, you can go to the Lucky Mojo forum. It's forum.luckymojo.com. And there's a thread for each radio show, and you can ask questions about the information given to you on that show, and we will answer at the forum. Okay? Good luck to you. All right, we're going to be going to our next reading in just a moment. And boy, was this one a doozy. Let's hope the next one is a little easier on us.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client, we're actually going to the queue, and we have Mike from 480 in Arizona. Mike, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Welcome to the show. Is this your first time calling in?
It is.
Oh, well, welcome. Welcome to the show. Now, I do see here that Mike is calling in to get some career advice as he wants to find his life's passion. Turning it back to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask just a few questions, and then I'm going to turn it over, and the first reading will be done for you by Conjure Manali. But I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, Mike, since this is a very bare-bones question. You want career advice. Have you had a career at all?
Yes.
Okay. About how old are you?
I'm 46.
46. Okay. And so is this a question about continuing in a career, changing careers, or what exactly are you asking here?
Changing careers. I've had a background in business, professional sales, and so forth. I have opened up as a medium in as recently as 2010, but then there's also the linear side thinking of who I am in regards to thinking of going into real estate. So I'm kind of bouncing back and forth.
And all right. So it's a choice between real estate and being a reader like we are, a medium, a spirit medium, and root worker perhaps.
Oh, shit.
Right, or a combination of both.
And I always say when we get to this point in the questions of life, you have never lived until you have gone to the person who is a card reader, does hairdressing, and raises pedigree Pekingese all out of one building. With his mother. Not only that, we're talking about a female impersonator, a gay female impersonator who raises Pekingese with his mother and does women's makeup and hair and female impersonators makeup and hair and reads cards all out of one building. Okay, so anything is possible in this world, and it can be done with grace and panache. All right, now we're going to turn this over to Ali. Okay.
Thanks, Kat. This is why I love you, for the record. That was fantastic. I have a question for you, Mike. What sign of the zodiac?
Gemini.
Gemini. Okay, that's why
you're
interested in two different
things.
You were made to do multiple careers.
Yes, you were.
That's right.
Geminis, yes, we love you, we adore you, and this is exactly why Geminis are very much meant to do multiple careers, and your reading reflects this. It's very fascinating. I pulled three cards here. All three cards are pentacle cards. Okay, so that's very clear. The very first card is the King of Pentacles. This is an older individual who has worked hard and built up a career. Underneath a flowery gown, he's wearing armor, and he's surrounded by a luxurious garden. And the next card is the Knight of Pentacles, which tells us that real estate is something you should not give up. Both of these are real estate cards. The Knight of Pentacles is actually a farmer who becomes a knight, and the King of Pentacles is a lord who has an actual land that is flourishing, that he rules over. So real estate is very important for you. Now, the thing about the Knight of Pentacles is he has two professions. He's both a farmer and he's a knight, and in that way he's quite unique from other of the chivalrous cards. So yeah, you will be able to do mediumship as well. It may be a side business, but it also may not be anytime soon. You may start doing mediumship work actually later. The current path is leading down the path of real estate. And in particular, doing some quite lucrative real estate deals. Both the Knight of Pentacles is someone who's waiting on their plants and their produce and their seeds to flower, and the King of Pentacles is one who's already luxurious. The final card is the Ten of Pentacles. This is a person who has reaped what he has sown, who is now retired and living comfortably and created a holding and a legacy, and now they're watching their ancestors or their descendants reap the benefits. So it's creating a serious legacy and then being able to kind of sit back and enjoy as the money comes in. This all tells us multiple streams of income is going to be important for you. Real estate is the immediate path later in life, as we see in the Ten of Pentacles, or a few years down the line, probably around 50 or a little bit later is when you'll start to really go into the field of mediumship. You will have both careers at the same time. You'll have them as streams of income for you. They're both going to be very profitable for you. So it's a very positive path, and one that says simply be patient, know that the immediate path is in real estate, and that mediumship will come later. One word of warning, that even though the path is very close, very positive, and it's giving us all the signs of blessing, there is a spirit that is close to you that I am picking up. As I was doing the reading, I was also looking into my carnelian ring. This spirit is a troublesome spirit, a trickster spirit. Be very careful. Test the spirits that you work with as a medium. The spirit is going to cause you quite a bit of trouble, which is probably why the mediumship as a full-on career may be put off by a few years. So you're going to have to develop some strong relationships with guardian spirits that will protect you. Start working with your ancestors first and foremost, and be aware that there is around you a trickster spirit that I am sensing, older, male, and slightly antagonistic. They don't wish you harm, but they are disruptive. So I am getting that. Otherwise, the path is positive for you. Just approach with some patience and caution. I know Geminis try to do everything at once and they want it immediately. Just a little bit of Taurian energy is needed here, a little steadiness. But other than that, it's a positive reading and a clear green light.
Very
wonderful.
Interesting.
Yeah. And if
all
it didn't
right.
happen yesterday, it didn't happen fast enough.
Right. All right. Well, let's turn this over to Susan. And she's going to do a reading for you as well, and we'll take it from her perspective in addition.
And let me tell you, there was a period of time when I was starting out doing professional readings. My other job was a realtor.
Really?
Wonderful.
Yes, many
Amazing.
Years ago. So, yes. Let's take a look, see what the cards have to say. Well, speaking of tricksters, the first card out to represent you is the Magician, which I do think you're actually very skilled. I feel like, you know, skills are not an issue here, either in your real estate abilities or in your mediumship abilities. However, I agree with Ali that you're... first mission is about manifesting through the real estate realm and actually utilizing your skills to be successful. I feel like you have an advantage. Like who wouldn't want a, you know, psychic realtor? You'll find the right house. You'll make money. You'll do well. You have really good financial cards here. But I do think that there's a point... this is going to shift. There's something else entirely different than pure mediumship. Do you do readings? What kind of mediumship do you do? Do you talk to spirits?
Yes. Well, usually, last Sunday I just did my first psychic fair, so it was my first kind of coming out per se.
Mm-hmm.
So basically. I was just kind of doing a little psychometry that would tap into the individual, and then if something came through pertaining to their questions, because, again, it was just a short period of time, then that would kind of come through. Mediumship right now tends to just kind of come in when it does, and I can feel it. But I don't, you know, again, sometimes when I try too hard to, when somebody gives me a name or something like that, it's been kind of hit and miss.
Well, keep in mind, you know, the Gemini energy, you know, you can get in your head. And
yeah.
It's an interesting that the topic today was pendulums. You know, you should probably use a tool that you don't have to think about. Do you use cards? Are you using psychometry solely now, or do you use cards or some other tool as well?
Yeah, no. I mean, I have a pendulum, and when I heard the topic, I pulled it out and was kind of playing with it while I was listening along. And with my and finding various charts with my tablet, but usually I don't know anything about the cards, and it doesn't really resonate with me. I just kind of get information.
Yeah, and I would also stay away from the tablets and the stick with the psychometry, stick with the pendulum without graphs. your biggest challenge is going to be getting out of your head, getting out of your own way, and really tapping into your intuitive. That being said, some of the best intuitives I've ever met have been Geminis. You know, being in your head doesn't exclude you from being intuitive. In fact, it can be a fabulous way to tap in. And also you'll have the means to communicate what you receive. But I do think there's something else coming for you, something in addition to that. It feels more of a healing nature, more of, again, getting out of the head and getting into what you're really craving when you're doing this kind of work. Is helping people in a different way than you have been. Mm-hmm. And I think your spirit is calling you to do something more healing, more real, if that makes sense to you. Does that make any sense?
No, it makes perfect sense, because last night when I was finishing up a movie and contemplating on whether I was going to, you know, go to bed or maybe watch something else real quick, and all of a sudden, something came through because my dog was laying on the, you know, on the living room floor, sleeping, and, you know, I got this insight, spirit, whatever, and it was, you know, asked me to put my hands out, you know, in regards to healing and stuff, and then it went, and then it kind of went into the whole thing of this, what we're going to work on you doing, because this is it, and then, it asked me to do healing on myself and take my right hand and put it on my heart. And then I have an arthritic foot from an injury when I was younger, and to do that as well, and still maintain with the dog. And it was, I mean, it's funny you bring that up, because that all happened just like last night.
It's calling you strongly, and I encourage you, you know, because sometimes when we get those kinds of ailments, it is calling us to do this kind of work. I do believe. That you're very capable. I do believe you're gifted in that area. Try not to second guess it. Learn some skills, because regardless of whether you go into healing for others, you'll be able to heal yourself. And it teaches you how to manipulate energy. And that will help you whether you're doing healing work or whether you're doing root work, tapping into the source where all things manifest from, whether that's healing, whether that's creating more money in your life. There's a place, there's a source where you can draw from. And I feel like right now you're being called to the physical, to the healing in a physical way, spiritual/physical, I should say. So I would take up some kind of, in along with the psychometry and the other things that you're pursuing, take up some kind of healing path. That could be Reiki, that could be any kind of martial arts. It could be any number of things where you can learn how to channel, focus, and direct energy.
Mm. Wonderful.
All right. Okay. I'm going to see here what we can do with a little bit of root work and see where we can go with that. We are in a kind of an interesting situation here. We've talked about you being a Gemini. And Madam Nadia, who is a Gemini, mentioned, of course, that is an air sign and that incense is good for Geminis. Now, a lot of people feel like, well, incense is, you know, can be a bit much because, you know, it affects your lungs. So I also count under incense things like room sprays. I count anything that goes through the air. And I also count prayer, the voice and the tongue. And it was mentioned here that you do have some ability to, to work that way. So I'm going to make a few recommendations. One is that I would like you to work with some incenses or room sprays to settle and focus yourself. there are room sprays and incenses that go along with the real estate world, things like House Blessing, St. Joseph, whatever it is that interests you, and you can see the money-making ones too. There are also room sprays and incenses that go with psychic vision, things like myrrh, psychic vision incense, and so forth. I would work with those to try to pull yourself in both directions. It was also mentioned that you should be doing healing, and there are incenses and herbs that are used for healing as well. Self-heal is always a good one. And if you're making an incense, a custom blend, you can always put a little bit of those in there. I kind of understand the idea of the use of Catholic saints for real estate is very intense for some people. But if you're not a Catholic, it may not move you. Our Lady of Loretta was used by... You were raised Catholic. Oh, good. Well, we're going to give points to Coastside Conjure in the chat room. She got that. Our Lady of Loretto is used for people who want to get a house, and St. Joseph is used by people or worked with by people who want to sell a house. So you might, if you want to do real estate, work with those two beautiful spirits. I am concerned about the health and healing aspects of this. I would recommend that you make a bath tea with self-heal and perhaps a little bit of, any of the things that that appeal to you. Bone set's another one that's used for healing. And also bathe that arthritic foot. I'm just seeing something there that's a little nagging at me. And then we're going to ask you to set up really two small, I wouldn't call them altars, but two small little places, we could call them, where you're going to have one for real estate, and you're going to put coins and money there, and the other for mediumship, and you're going to put things of your ancestors there. And I want you to do a little bit of observation and veneration at each one of them. Do not have them near each other, and you'll begin to see which one has the most energy for you. It was mentioned that there might be a trickster spirit near you. Call upon your ancestors to help with that. Also, Papa Newt mentioned, talk with Auntie Cindy Toto, who is in the chat room, by the way, about St. Joseph, whose feast day is on March 19th. And she has a beautiful community altar for St. Joseph. So I think that you can do both for a while. I think it may be a while before one manifests over the other, but give each its due. And as was mentioned with pendulum work, you might be able to actually be a psychic real estate person. In other words, you can find which place is right for which person, and you can actually help people in the spiritual and magical community finding real estate. They need the help too. So it's a niche, but it's a niche that might work for you. So I have Gemini rising, and so I know what it's like to juggle a couple of careers. And as long as you don't get lost, switching gears from one to the other, you have the potential actually to follow both paths. And that is an unusual person, but it is something that's really going to be, for you, it'll be unique. the psychic realtor.
I love it.
All righty. now we're going to go to our next segment, and let's bring on the recorded announcement.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rook Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Tandela's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7, all time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Now it's time for our free spell segment with Susan Diamonds of SerpentsKiss.biz in Santa Cruz, California. Take it away, Susan Diamonds.
Woohoo! Thanks. All right, so we're talking about pendulums, and I did promise earlier that pendulums are more than divination tools and can actually be used for spell work. So the spell that I'm offering up tonight is a pendulum spell for discovering and clearing negative energies and entities in the home. If you're new to pendulum work, I know Kat mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to reiterate it. You first need to determine what is a yes or no with your pendulum. And it does vary from person to person. For me, a circular motion indicates a yes, and a straight line or a back and forth motion indicates a no. But again, that could be different for you. So when working with your pendulum for ritual or spell purposes, this is just a general now, not for this specific spell, but you can use it for many, many purposes. Spinning it in a counterclockwise way facilitates, and this is now you're doing it. It's not, you're not asking it to do it. When you're actually pulling in power and energy, you're going to move the pendulum, and you're going to spin it counterclockwise to remove conditions and clockwise to bring in conditions. That being said, for this spell working, you can work with a single pendulum. I prefer two, one for clearing and one for blessing. And while many types of pendulums can be used for this, for greater impact, you might use, for instance, for pulling, drawing, or removing stones like black tourmaline, hematite, lodestone, obsidian, malachite. For the second part of the working, for blessing or healing, you can use angelite, celestite, rose quartz, amethyst, blue lace, agate, fluorite, or a stone that you connect with. One of the things about working with stones is sometimes you have a real affinity for a particular type of stones, and the way you work with stones is, even though as a family they may have an energy, like let's say rose quartz. Everybody knows rose quartz is used for love, but that's a community. If you think about communities from a human perspective, there are generalities you can say about certain types of communities, but then there are specific individuals within that community. So basically, depending on your relationship with certain stones, you can use one stone for pretty much every purpose, but that's up to you and that's up to your relationship. You can also use roots. We talked about this earlier as well. Angelica root is good for healing and blessing. Dragon's blood for power, protection, attraction. Alum for cleansing and stopping gossip. Camphor for purification, house clearing. Hijon for luck, power, potency. Lucky hand for luck and money. The blue balls for uncrossing and purification. So as I'm talking about this and cleansing a house, consider what the energies might be that you're trying to either eliminate, and what is it you want to pull in to take its place. So to start this, you're going to use your pendulum to determine if, in fact, there is an entity or an energy in the home. If this is yes, and we're talking about negative, if this is yes, you continue to ask questions to determine what kind. Is it elemental? Is it demonic? Is it human? Is it a curse? Etc. and so forth. Knowing what kind will help you determine and fine-tune which allies or products you will need for the working, the stones, the herbs, and we're going to talk about working with some incense as well. So take, once you determine what you're dealing with, take your drawing pendulum, whether it's stone or plant, the one that's pulling out, the removing pendulum. And you're going to move slowly throughout the home, spinning your pendulum counterclockwise. Now, you're in a state of transition here. Before you start the work, you want to get in a very relaxed, almost semi-altered state. So you're connecting now, and you're pulling out, you're drawing, and slowly moving through the home, spinning your pendulum counterclockwise, drawing the entity out of the shadows. You're going to address the unwanted entity and tell it to leave in no uncertain terms. Once you have drawn out the unwanted spirit. You need to be strong here because you're pulling it to the surface before you're ridding yourself of it. You're pulling it out. Once you have moved through the home, going from room to room, your pendulum, even though you started moving it, is probably at this point moving on its own and facilitating the cleansing. Once you finish going through the home, take your pendulum and drop it into a glass of salted water. You can add other things to the water, such as camphor, hyssop, other cleansing items. This step is unnecessary, though, if you're using self-cleaning stones and certain roots that are self-cleaning. The next step is moving, once you've now pulled up and pulled out the negative energy, you're going to move through the home with an appropriate incense. That could be uncrossing, banishing, you could use sulfur, whatever works for what you have determined earlier is the energy or the entity that's in the home. You're going to do this with the windows open. So now you're like releasing, cleansing, clearing out the home. And because nature hates a vacuum, now you have removed something negative, you need to replace it with something positive. You need to draw in that which you desire. So using the appropriate pendulum for that, like if it's a prosperity you want to bring in your home, you might use an aventurine that Kat talked about earlier. If you want to bring peace or healing into the home, you might use angelite or celestite. You're going to go around your home now, spinning your pendulum clockwise, moving through, calling in what it is you want it to be filled with. You might be calling in ancestor spirits, for instance, blessings, healing, peace, prosperity, whatever, love. You might be calling in a partner. Once that is done, once you have cleared your place, once you have called in something to replace what was there, you're going to light the appropriate candle in each room and seal the entryways with salt or protective stones or herbs so that your space maintains a semblance of cleanliness. And the most important piece of this is to continue to do ongoing spiritual cleansings to prevent anything from sticking to you again, because nothing sticks to a shiny surface. Stay clean, stay cleansed, keep your place clean, and you should not have a recurrence of the negative energy or entity.
Wow.
Very
cool.
That
was incredible. That was just beautiful.
Very cool, yeah.
Thank you so much. This has been a wonderful show. Now, I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt. He's going to give us our closing announcement, and we'll all come back and say adios.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Susan Diamond of SerpentsKit.biz in Santa Cruz, California, for being our guest this week. We do invite you to tune in next week, when we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, which will be Mama E of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California, discussing pumpkin spells. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Ms. Kat via the Lucky Mojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of papanewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Reworker Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. And thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. I want to say that Friendly Fox 45 has jumped into the chat room and wants to know about Lost Kat. And we don't have time for a reading, but I'd like to make a call for those of you who do set lights and do say prayers. Please say a prayer for Friendly Fox's lost tortoiseshell kitty. That's the best we can do on that one. I hate to leave it hanging, but we're all going to say our prayers.
They'll do.
All right. And pray to St. Francis as co-side conjurer. So thank you, Susan. And thank you, Papa Newt. And thank you, Conjurer Manali. And that's our show for the night. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Good night, all.